Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Spirituality What? It's Wednesday. It's time for another episode. And I am excited today to present Chris. Chris is the pastor of the Trinity Covenant Reformed Church here locally. And in addition to being a pastor, he enjoys spending time with his wife and his 12 grandchildren. He likes to ski, fish, hike, and take in the beauty and all that is the Rocky Mountains here locally. So Chris and I met from Craigslist. And I know I've talked before about Meetup is the place to be and the place to meet people. And in my experience, to meet a lot of really great people. I actually sometimes make friends on Craigslist. And usually what happens is I'm selling something or they're selling something and we decide that we kind of hit it off and it's worth continuing the conversation. And so that happened with Chris. So today, Chris is going to talk to us a little bit about his journey from effective atheism to his position as the pastor at the Trinity Covenant Reformed Church. We're going to talk about his experience with crisis of faith, a little bit about sin and perfection, what makes a Reformed Church different from other types of churches, including the five solas, and we're going to get into a little bit of a discussion of destiny and free will. So let's dig right in. Thanks for joining. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Spirituality What? I am here today with Chris, and we are going to get into the details and find out a little bit more about the Trinity Covenant Reformed Church. Chris, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yeah. So my name's Chris Moulton. I'm the pastor of Trinity Covenant Reformed Church here in Colorado Springs. And I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado, so Colorado native, although I did live a few other places. I was raised basically in very much in a non-religious home. I would consider myself an atheist. I couldn't really have told you two things about the Bible. I don't know if I could have told you one thing about the Bible. In fact, I was so ignorant that I really... If you were to ask me who were Mary and Joseph or anything about Christmas or Easter from a religious standpoint, I couldn't have told you anything. Gotcha. I didn't know anything. We never went to church. And I mean, literally, yeah. We never went to church. And so I didn't know anything. And I was fine with that. I just graduated from high school. I was working at a hospital in the Denver area as an orderly, which is, if you're my age, which is in your 60s, you'd know what an orderly is, but you tell new people what an orderly is. It's basically was a male nursing assistant.
Okay.
And I worked in a neurotrauma unit. We worked with brain and spinal injured patients. And the hospital hired a gentleman that was about my age, and he was always saying things like, praise the Lord, and things like, let's pray, and that was a foreign language to me. And so I asked my coworkers, what's with this guy? And they said, he's weird. Just don't mess with him. So
he's
just
a religious guy. Right, don't worry about it. Right.
So I just did. I avoided him as much as I could. But I remember one Saturday, him and I were working together. And I asked him, like, why are you like you are? What makes you tick? And he explained that he, too, was raised pretty similar to the way I was. And he was into drugs and life was just pretty bad. He was living in his parents' garage, and he got to the point he was actually going to commit suicide. He tied a noose, threw it around the rafters of the garage, and couldn't put his head in it. And the next day he was sitting on the steps at the Capitol in downtown Denver, and some guy came up to him and witnessed the gospel. And it was just, for him, it was an immediate lights on experience. It just changed his whole life. And that was through the course of a day of working with him. He told me the story, and I had never heard anything like it at all. So looking back, I would say, using a fishing analogy, God hooked me and started reeling me in. Okay. It wasn't lights on for me at that point.
But it was like, this is interesting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to know more.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I somewhat became good friends with him, and he'd tell me a few other things. And not too long after that, I met my first wife, who was raised in the church. And so we ended up getting married. Not too long after that, I bought a Bible and I went to church, and I figured I'm a Christian because Christians own a Bible and go to church. So that's, yeah. So that's what I did. And we were faithful church attenders for a long time, and I was fine with that. And so I became a school teacher. I was going to college at the time and became a school teacher, and we were living in Arizona. And again, I was just your, I guess, average church going, considered myself a Christian. And I bought a little book called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was just about, I don't know, I'm guessing 80 pages long, not too hard to read. And so I remember going to bed one night and I read that book, and I read it in about an hour and a half. And the idea behind it was, if you're really a Christian, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I got down on my knees on the side of the bed and I prayed, God, I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And so I got back in bed, I fell asleep. I woke up an hour later, the most terrified I've ever been in my life. I was really, and I couldn't explain why, but I was beside myself. I was a I'm a pretty chill person. I've never been depressed or any of those things. I was just terrified. And I really couldn't tell you why I was terrified, but I was. And I'm making a long story much shorter here by skipping ahead about 5 or 6 months ahead of that. After 5 or 6 months of really battling depression and trying my hardest to be good enough so that God would accept me and God would love me. And it didn't matter that the more I tried, the more I realized my heart was wrong. I didn't really love God like I could say I did. I didn't really do the things I
Okay,
should.
so you're having like this crisis between like I go to church and I do these things, but I'm not really in it.
Right. Very much,
Gotcha.
yeah. Crisis of faith is what we call it. Yeah. And I had this t-shirt for years, well, at least for months, and it said on the back, it said, the righteousness that he requires is the righteousness that his righteousness requires him to require. So I'll say that again, because it's
Whoa,
hard.
yeah, please
Okay.
do.
So it says, the righteousness that he requires, in other words, if you believe in God, which I do, that there's a certain level of righteousness that he requires. So the righteousness that he requires is the righteousness that his righteousness, which I can get to in a few minutes, I believe in the Bible, which would be perfect righteousness. That's what he requires. And it struck me, it didn't matter how hard I tried. I was never going to reach that. It really just didn't matter. And if anybody knows church history, they know that some, like Martin Luther, he went through the same crisis of faith in a sense. He literally whipped himself, literally with a whip in the back, because he thought he could beat his flesh into submission to be who. He went to the steps in near the Vatican and climbed up the steps on his knees till they became bloody. He was so desperate to become good enough for God to accept him, and he realized he couldn't, and I realized I couldn't. And then I was teaching school at the time. I was walking home from school, and suddenly that message on that t-shirt, which I never really understood, came to me, and I realized at that moment that the righteousness that God requires is only found in Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, you even take the first few letters of Christian, it means you are a Christ follower. You follow Christ, you believe in Christ, you trust in Christ. Christ is your righteousness. And what that gentleman years ago told me, where the lights came on for him, the lights came
Oh,
on
at
for
that
me.
point, at that
And I
point.
realized that what I needed to do, in fact, the Bible says in three different places, the just, in other words, those who are justified, those who are loved, those who are accepted by God, the just shall live by faith. But it's faith in an object. Everybody has faith. Everybody has, like, both of us are presently sitting down. When we both came in here to sit down, we didn't check the chair to
To
make
make sure
sure
it
it
was
was
going
going
to
to hold it.
work. Yeah,
Right. We just sat
exactly.
down. You have faith. So my faith, so the object of a Christian's faith is Jesus Christ. That's what I'm truly trusting in. And when I did that, again, the lights came on, as it were, and I found peace, and what I thought I was a Christian before, because I owned a Bible and went to church,
completely changed.
I found to be much more than that. And certainly I believe I should have a Bible and I should go to church, but it's much more than
that.
So,
okay. That was a little surface level, and now you've kind of really gotten much deeper. Okay.
Right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to start with the question that I ask all the interviewees on this podcast, which is always very interesting, is what does spirituality mean to you?
Yeah. So again, I guess I should make this clear at the beginning. I believe in an objective truth, not subjective. And I know that that kind of flies in the face with a lot of society today. We live in a more of a pluralistic society. I understand that. And things tend to be subjective, and what works for you and is fine, and what works for me. But as Christians, we really do believe in an objective truth, which is the Bible, which we believe is God's word. And even within the realm of Christianity, there are some that say that the Bible is at least somewhat subjective, maybe even majority subjective, in the sense you read it and whatever it says to you, that's true.
Your interpretation.
Right. Okay. But I believe, again, we as in those in my church and so forth, we really believe that what God's word says, it says. And not every part is as clear as other parts. But
sure.
So when I say what I'm about to say about spirituality, it really comes out of that core belief that the Bible is God's word. And so I believe that true spirituality is being born again, born of the Spirit. And in the Bible, in John chapter 3, there was a religious man that came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus by night because we assume he didn't want to be. Jesus was popular by some, but he was hated by many. And and so he came to Jesus by night and basically told Jesus he knew that he was a religious man, and he did amazing things. And Jesus' response to him was that a person must be born again. And this learned religious man named Nicodemus asked, well, what does that mean? Do you enter into your mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he made it clear, no, you have to be born of the Spirit. So again, using God's word as my guide, we are spiritually dead. God made us. God is a spirit. And God made us body and spirit as his creatures. And so we are body and spirit. But because of a word that we almost never hear anymore, called sin, which is a really basic word. And I like old movies, and it's amazing. You watch movies before the 50s, you heard that word a lot.
Totally.
And now you just don't hear it.
Yeah.
Because, well, I won't get into all the reasons I believe we don't hear it anymore. but again, that's one of, if not, it's right up there, top three foundational realities that the Bible or scripture teaches is sin, that mankind sinned against God. Sin is, we would define it as any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And by the law of God, and forgive me if I'm rambling here, but by the law of God, we mean God's commandments, which we, some people would say, well, what are God's commandments? We summarize them in the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
And Ten Commandments are things that most people know something about.
Yeah,
thou shalt not murder,
and
that kind of thing. So we could summarize the Ten Commandments. We could summarize all of God's law, his moral law, in the Ten Commandments. Then we could further summarize it by saying just these two points. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I can tell you, Rebecca, there hasn't been one day in my entire life that I've even come close to that. And I'm a pastor. I've never one time in my life loved God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I've never loved my neighbor as myself. I try to.
Sure.
And I long for the day when I will do that perfectly, but I don't. And then I think we could further summarize the Ten Commandments, or God's moral law. We could do it in the Ten Commandments. We could do it in Two Commandments. And then we could do it in this one. At the very end of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, be perfect. And then in case anybody were, he kind of knew it, somebody might say, well, how perfect? He answers that, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And there too, I think, going back to my own testimony and many others, at that point, I threw up my hands. It's like, or threw in the towel. It doesn't, I can't. Mm. I can't be as perfect as God is perfect. Mm. And that's when the light comes on, because that's right. You can't be, but one could. One person could be, and that was Jesus Christ. Mm. And so again, as Christians, we believe in what we, I don't use too technical of terms, but substitutionary atonement. God, Jesus was our substitute. Mm. I was a teacher for years, and so, you know, days I couldn't be there, a substitute teacher filled in for me. As when I want to come before God and be a spiritual being, truly spiritual, being born of the Spirit, I can only do that if somebody else does it for me, because I don't have it in me to do it. Because I was born with a sin nature. Even though I have been born again, I still have remnants of that old sin nature. There's nothing I do perfectly.
Sure.
And so, but I trust in one that did. He did that for me. And so in his substitutionary atonement, and atonement is another word for covering, we believe. Again, if anybody knows anything about Christianity, they would, I think, probably know about the cross. And we believe that on the cross, Jesus took the guilt of our sin upon him and paid the price for it. God punished him in our place, but then Jesus rose again, even as we will. And so that's, true spirituality. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm a rambler sometimes.
It's okay.
But true spirituality comes back around to being born again, born of the Spirit.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So we have a little bit of context also around your background. Let's get into more of the details. Can you give us like the 50,000 foot view of like, what is the Trinity Covenant Reformed Church? And
sure.
How is that different from other churches?
Yeah. So again, a little bit of church history. In the four centuries after Christ ascended back up to heaven, pretty much the only Christian church was the Roman Catholic Church. Okay. That just became the, through Constantine and a series of events, that was pretty much the church. And then around the 1400s, maybe 1500s, the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, which was really, the idea was there were ways in which they believed that the Roman Catholic Church had gotten off the rails, as it were, and needed to get back into there were some evidences of corruption and those type of things. So the reformers, as they became known, were not trying to separate themselves from the Roman Catholic Church. They were trying to reform it, hence the name the reformers. And Protestant, they were protesting against some of the corruptions within the church. And so we call it the Protestant Reformation. And I referred earlier to Martin Luther. Martin Luther was German, and he nailed his 95 theses on the wall, things against the church.
Oh, yes, I recall very long ago learning about those.
Right, yeah. So he sometimes is credited as starting the Reformation, not necessarily. There was a few before him, but so out of Germany and other European nations, there was the Reformation. Mm-hmm. So we are Trinity Covenant Reformed Church because we would say we find our history in the Reformation, in the Protestant Reformation. Our denomination was primarily German immigrants that came over from Europe, 1700s. We are just this year, and just in a couple months, we are getting ready to celebrate our 278th synod, which is a synod is all the gathering of the churches in our denomination, which is, you know, it is what it is, but that's pretty impressive because
a lot of denominations
haven't been around that long. Mm-hmm. And we, like any church, denomination, organization, anything, we've had our ups and downs and we've had splits and so forth. But so we would consider ourselves historically German Reformed. I'm not German, so you don't have to be German Reformed or anything like that.
Okay.
That's just our roots. And to make it that simple too, because I often get asked, so you're a pastor, yes. What denomination, or, you know, what church, a Reformed church? Well, what does that mean? And I'll often say, well, it's similar to Lutheran or Presbyterian. But if I could just have a minute here, a little bit clear, we believe in what's called the five solas. It's their Latin
Okay.
term. So sola is alone. So we believe in sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. We believe the Bible is our standard, like I pointed out earlier. We believe in sola Christus, or sola, or Christ alone. Christ is, again, the object of our faith. Sola gratiae, or sola, it's grace alone. We are saved by grace. I don't, I think I understand this better than perhaps some that were raised in the church.
Okay.
I am no better in any way than anybody, than the worst. I'm no better of a person than the worst criminal. I'm not.
Yeah.
Because again, if the standard is obey God's law perfectly, well,
Then we're all doing kind of the same amount of job
right. Yeah,
there.
I heard a great illustration. It was like, okay, well, here's two guys, and they're gonna long jump across the Atlantic Ocean. And so one guy, he's not a very good jumper, but so he takes off for the beach and he makes it 4 feet. But he's jumping against an Olympian. And this guy, I think the world record for long jump now is like 29 feet something.
That's
So he
insane.
takes off and he jumps 29 feet. What's that across the Atlantic Ocean? That's like
Still
nothing.
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on my best day, I can jump 20 feet. But what's that? It's
Sure.
nothing. And so, yeah. So by grace, we're saved. It's a gift. We don't earn it. I tried to earn it. You can't earn it. Nobody can earn it. Nobody. Well, I'm good enough. God loves me because I'm good enough. You don't understand it. And the word gospel means good news. That's really what it means. It's the
Okay.
good news that you can't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God loves you anyway if and when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So sola gratia, sola fide, which is by faith alone, grace alone, through faith alone, and sole Deo gloria, to God's glory alone. And those five solas are pretty core to
Kind of
what
foundation.
would be foundational
Okay.
for Trinity Covenant Reformed Church. And we have a lot of other that we're the only denomination. We're the only church in our denomination in Colorado Springs. There's one in Greeley, one in Lyman.
Oh, okay.
But we have sister churches and so forth that we are, there's a few little differences in how we govern the church and those
Gotcha.
type of things, but in the Springs. And I mean, in that regard too, I somewhat because of my background, I would hate the thought to, I would hate for anyone in our church to think, well, we're the only church that's got it all together. I mean, I used to think a
Sure.
pretty good name for a church was, in fact, I was called to plant a church in Denver and I got to name it. And I thought the name of the church would be Pretty Good Reformed Church. We're pretty good sometimes.
Gotcha.
Right? So I don't want to,
Doing the best we can,
yeah,
church.
right, exactly. Right. I mean, we're all sinners. We all have our issues and we do the best we can, but we try to focus on the good news of Christ. And
Gotcha.
all to say that, again, other Christian churches in Colorado Springs or the nation or wherever, we have brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world
Totally.
that aren't just Reformed.
Yeah,
So,
totally. Okay, so you talked about these five solas. Now, so how does that represent itself in the church? What makes kind of that as a foundational principle different from other Christian churches, for example?
sure, yeah, and coming on the heels of what I just said, I believe we have many others in the faith
That are
that are
similar.
spiritual in the
Yeah,
same way
yeah,
we
yeah,
are around
yeah.
the church. But we would differ, I guess, somewhat. Obviously, in our history, we would differ.
Totally.
Some have just come on the scene lately. We would differ in that. I'm trying to be not too technical here. I'll use an illustration in this. So my wife was raised in the church,
Okay.
and much different than I was. I mean, she went to church all the way through
Yeah.
Sunday school
Gotcha,
and
gotcha.
everything. And then her first husband died of brain cancer. My first wife left my daughter and I, so we were both single. And so we started sort of dating, I guess you could say. But I told her my conviction is I'm Reformed in my theology, and she wasn't. And so she, because I guess she thought I still was handsome enough, she wanted to pursue me. I don't know, but she said, "Well, what should I do about that?" And so I gave her a book to read. It was called The Sovereignty of God.
Okay.
And so I think that's one of the main another main distinctions of Reformed or Presbyterian or some Lutheran branches theology. So we believe that God is absolutely sovereign. And in other words, we can't thwart his plan. He does what he's going to do, and that, and who he's going to save, he saves. And that doesn't mean that we don't cry out to him and we don't believe that, but that's keeping God as God, keeping God as almighty, as all powerful, as all knowing, as sovereign over all. That would be something I think that other churches maybe would go so far to that, but they would tend to leave more up to, well, it's all up to you.
Is this a like destiny versus free will sort of
very much
conversation?
So. Yeah,
okay, good okay.
Point. Yeah, because
okay.
In fact, again, my third time referring to Martin Luther, but one of his best, most well-known books is Bondage of the Will, where he says we are, our will is bound by, we are either bound to sin or we are bound to be free from sin by the power
okay.
of God.
Okay, so one of the things that might be different then about the Trinity Covenant Reformed Church is this this idea of like you really believe more in destiny than free will.
Right, yeah, and destiny maybe would be the word we'd use, but God's
yeah,
sovereignty.
Yeah, right. But yeah. Something similar.
Similar,
something,
very much so.
Something similar.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, and what does a service at the Trinity Covenant Reformed Church. That's a lot of words,
sure.
But what is it, how does that look different, or is that very similar to other Christian churches?
No, that's a great question, and again, I'm not trying to pit us against anybody else.
No,
but,
this is all just information gathering.
Okay, yeah. So, for various reasons, a lot of modern-day churches and, if I could use the word hip churches or cool churches or popular churches, they've more or less come to a worship style that usually begins, and I've been in some of them, and I'm not putting them down or saying
sure,
that
sure.
Just their style of worship is more, it starts with a concert, basically. I mean, there's light shows, big sound systems,
yep.
there's
live
smoke
music.
Machines,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's like five or six people up there with the full band, and we're much more traditional.
Okay.
You won't see
okay.
that at Trinity. We're, the word is often liturgical. If you were to think back, if you were ever to watch a movie of and there was a scene from a church from the 30s or 40s, it would probably kind of, people think, well, you're back to old fashioned. We actually have hymn books rather than a screen that we all sing. My family cringes, even my wife and daughter, that I would say I stand up front. I'm the only one up front, and I start the songs, and I can sing like terribly. So,
but it's not a competition, that's for sure.
That's right. And it's very ordered. It's I'm trying to avoid technical terms, but it's called the regulative principle of worship. So we worship the Lord as we believe it's regulated by Scripture.
Oh, okay.
But it's basic. It's very basic. Sure. There's no. Again, I've been in churches that have dance. I've been in churches that have, I was in a church one time that had a jump team. It was three men jumping as high as they could. So we don't do too much jumping.
Yeah,
we don't do too much dancing.
But that's a unique one.
Right. But it's, and it is centered around the preaching of God's word. That's the main thing. And
okay.
So the sermons are 35 minutes in length or something.
Okay.
But we're good listeners. And so, that's what it is.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this has been actually a very interesting conversation. So thank you so much. I want to just end on one final question, which is, what is one tip about living as a spiritual being in this human form that you would like to share with listeners?
And here again, it's the heart of a pastor. It's the heart of someone that has been completely outside of Christianity. Just another little illustration that my buddies and I used to play football on Sundays in Denver. And I remember driving by a church. In fact, when I moved back to Denver a few years ago, I went by that church and I was going to go in, but it was something else now. But I remember driving by the church and yelling out the window, "You're all a bunch of blankety blank idiots. There is no God." And I yelled it and people stopped and they were walking to church. Mm-hmm. And I have to think this. They went in there and they prayed for that guy in that
Yeah,
car.
probably. Probably. That's
Yeah,
probably true.
right. And so, just again, from a heart of a man that understands what it is to be outside of Christ, to not be trusting in Christ, if I could give one spiritual advice, it would be to believe what God has said in His Word, to believe what the Bible teaches, to. I know it's old-fashioned. I know it's not popular. I know sin is not popular these days to talk about, but it's life-transforming. It really is.
It could be, yeah,
And
totally.
my heart, again, I'm not perfect by any means, but as I see people down and out on the streets, or I see people making terrible life decisions and all sorts of things, my heart breaks for them, and I want to share that. In fact, we have a daughter that lives with us that born and raised in the church, went to a Christian university, has her master's in theology,
Oh, wow.
and now doesn't believe any of it, or basically has turned away from it. So she's kind of a different
Yep,
path than
very
I'm on,
different
but we
path
love
than
her
that. Yeah,
greatly, and we
absolutely.
yeah and she's a great woman. And so anyway, yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Chris. This was wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to today's episode. If you're interested in hearing more from different organized religions, definitely let me know. Interact with the podcast and the poll on Spotify. And please, please tell all your friends about this podcast. I really appreciate all of the support. And be sure to follow the podcast on Spotify or Amazon or YouTube. As we gain more followers and subscribers, it will open up opportunities for other interviewees in the future. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.